Our reading this evening comes from the first epistle of Peter. We read from chapter 1, verses 1 through to 12. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Christ Jesus, and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning the situation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. May the Lord bless to us our reading from his holy word. Amen. On the first Sunday of August, we celebrated our church anniversary, 166 years of Christian witness here at Greenfield over the years. And we look back at the history of this and every church internationally, you can see that they were built by the hopes and the visions of those who have gone before us. In fact, we wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for them and the vision that they had, that the Church of Jesus Christ was that which was worthy of communities of people who had come together, who trusted and believed in his redeeming love, and who came together as the work of the New Testament declares to us the power of the Holy Spirit bringing the body of Christ into being. The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ, her Lord. And we build tonight on those foundations of faith that were given to us by those who have gone before us. That's the reality of the truth that we read as we read the words of Peter tonight. Peter was someone who was an apostle, of course. He counts himself immediately as an apostle, one who had witnessed the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Paul counts himself as an apostle. He appeared to me, he declared, when he was converted on the road to Damascus, as if as some abnormal birth. Those who had witnessed Jesus and heard Jesus counted themselves as apostles. Those who would then declare to future generations the wondrous work of the salvation that is in him alone. And that's what we find here in 1 Peter. Peter is concentrating on those foundations. The church is now being built. The church now had been established. On the day of Pentecost, the gospel was proclaimed and the church was born. And through the calling of Peter and Paul and others, of course, the message of the love of Christ spread to the known world of the day. And of course, that's something that Peter acknowledges immediately at the very beginning of this letter. Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, he speaks of those churches that had been established, those churches that were now the foundation of all that would follow. So it's important for us to remember that. We are not here, we have not come in a vacuum. We have come because we too believe that we are part of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are grounded in the word of God and those who have trusted in him and his resurrection from the dead. We have come together as a community to worship him. That is our prime job in this life, to worship and to praise the God who has called us in Christ to be his own. And that is the hallmark of every church, We do not come to glorify ourselves. We do not come to glorify any particular Christian tradition, although tradition is good. We come to give glory and thanks to God that in Christ he has redeemed us and brought us into a wondrous relationship of grace, which is in him alone. So Peter begins. The foundations are there, and he begins to build on those foundations. He speaks of hope. He speaks of joy. He speaks of the refining of faith. That your faith, he says, is more precious than gold. That gold, even its refinement, will lose its power. Yet when you are in Christ, you are powerful. You are eternal. You have something far greater than gold, something that will never perish in all the changing scenes of life. And though you have not seen him, yet you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Peter is convinced. Peter is preaching the gospel. Dear friends, in the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter was led to be an apostle, to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ to the communities of faith that were born, resulting from the preaching of the word of God and an acceptance of Christ as Lord and Saviour that God had raised from the dead. And dear friends, I can't for a moment think that this would have happened if it wasn't in God's domain, if it wasn't in God's intention, if it wasn't the intention of God to establish his church in the world, following the revelation of his grace in Christ, following the death and resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It was God's intention that this message of salvation, of good news, would spread from shore to shore, that the gospel would preach to the furthest corners of the earth, and that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ would be the means by which the good news of God's love, salvation and peace is made known. It's a privilege tonight to be part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not here by chance. We are here because of those who have gone before us, trusted and believed in that which was the basis of their faith, in the revelation of grace in Jesus alone, and gathered a community of faith. And when you think of the history of the church, I don't give you a history lesson tonight, I'm not going to do that. But when you think of the church from the very beginning, when you think of the history of the people of God, may trials and tribulations be we have sung tonight. May trials and tribulations, there have been trials and tribulations. There have been times when the evil one has tried to destroy the work and witness of the church. There have been times when false teaching came into the life of the church. But the gospel is being proclaimed to this very day. There are those out there who try to bring false teaching into the church, like the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, who have absconded from the truth of the word of God. Yet the church remains a living body of Christ, called by the grace of God to be the people of God in the world of which we are a part. So I'd just like to share with you three thoughts tonight. First of all, praise to God for the living hope that we have. Where is our hope tonight? I often ask that question to myself. What do we hope for? Naturally, we hope for the future. We have hope for our families, those we love. We have hope for friendship. We have hope in this dark world that things will get better. But in the news, I mentioned tonight those five young boys who were killed. Now what can you say? It's a reflection of the evil that is in the world. Of those who tried to do something to get on TikTok and lost their lives, and two policemen with them as well. The manifestation of evil. The evil one is at work. We see nations at enmity and war with each other, continually seeking to destroy. We see the enormity and divisions that are in the world in terms of those who have and those who have nothing. And we look out and we say, where is our hope? Where is our hope for a better life? Where is our hope for a better world? You see, what Peter's saying here is that the hope that he had wasn't grounded in wishful thinking. It wasn't grounded in escapism. It wasn't false optimism. But he knew that the future was in God's hands. And he was looking forward to the time when these people who received his message in Asia Minor and Pontus and Bithynia and be suffering persecution for themselves would hold on to that hope, even if it might be a fragile hope in their minds, because they were new Christians, they were new believers. How could they come to a depth of understanding of God's intention? And he says that God has given us a living hope, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. He's looking ahead to the time when every knee shall bow He's looking ahead to the time when Jesus will come again, when the kingdom of God will be established on earth. He's saying, hold on, you have a living hope, a hope that the world cannot begin. You have an inheritance that cannot be affected by rust and imperishable, unfading. He wants you to know that. Everything in the world decays, everything fades, everything disappoints, but the believer's inheritance is in heaven. We know where we are going. We are grounded in the amazing love of God. And I know that as the church gathered in this place, and every church represented here tonight, we know that we are part of this community that is not popular, that people pass by in a Wales that once had the word of revival and was singing the great hymns of Zion. We don't have that anymore. And we have these massive chapels at every street corner, and we wonder what the future is going to hold. Don't worry what the future is going to hold. It's already in God's keeping. That's the truth. We are part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Isn't that a joyous hope tonight? In the midst of the world in which we live. And it is grounded not in empty philosophy, but in the true sense of the triumph of God that Peter knew about. You know, I think of Peter. I think, why did Jesus choose this man? Was there any hope for him? No. You know, he denied Jesus. I don't know him. How did he feel when he heard that Jesus had been raised from the dead? In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus looked at him. How did he feel? I wonder. Did he ever hope? Was there going to be any hope for him now? After the man he turned out to be? Yeah. On the day of resurrection, go and tell my disciples and Peter. None are excluded. If you think you're a sinner too much to be saved, don't believe it for a moment. This is the assurance that we have. It's a living hope that is in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Don't give up hope, dear friends. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. But that doesn't take away, of course, from the realities of the situation in which these people found themselves. You know, their faith was being tested. And he speaks of a sort of refinement of faith. And trials had come, and trials would be there. And the early church would be cruelly persecuted for their faith. But what he speaks of here is the way in which the Spirit of God is able to refine and to make all things new. And the reality we find here is that this is a refinement that is something that God deals with us in our own lives. When you and I are faced with the temptations of life, when you and I perhaps feel that the world is against us and we have all sorts of problems and concerns, and if our faith is tested, and sometimes that can happen. There's an old Welsh hymn we used to sing in Bethel, Anrhydiniaeth Gadwyn Llonni. Yeah? That's a very, very honest hymn. But I haven't got anything like it in English. It says, disbelief, leave me alone. Don't come to me. You know, because anrhydiniaeth can creep up on us. Yeah? Disbelief can. The scientific claims of the world around us. The way in which we see on the media and the television and all sorts of things of the secularism of the world. You know, man trying to give rationale to the creation, trying to explain things away in the theoretical way that negates every concept of faith and understanding of a God. They say it's all chance. It all came. It's a big bang. And sometimes, especially our young people, they can be influenced by that. And they ask questions, and we must be willing to answer those questions in terms of our faith. Thank God for the work of the junior church here in Greenfield, in every church where young people are grounded in the faith. That is very, very important. I think many of us here, perhaps we complained about going to Sunday school, but we'll be glad today we went there, because we learned so much and gave us a ground, a foundation really, that enabled us to become people of faith. And these people were suffering. suffering persecution. And there were people creeping into the church at this time. They called the Gnostics. And they were people who were very devious. They couldn't believe, they believed that Jesus was a person. They believed that his teachings were relevant, but they were teaching that he couldn't possibly be the Son of God, that God could never ever become a human being, that the Word could never become flesh. And of course, that contradicts everything the New Testament teaches. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld his glory, that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, our faith has been refined, and we have been refined like gold is refined in the fire. But we know that these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory and honour when Christ Jesus is revealed. God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit that we might hold on to the truth of the Word of God. God gives us the Holy Spirit, that we are vessels of the Holy Spirit, that we might be led in the ways of righteousness, that we might come to the undeniable truth of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who is called the Comforter. And that word Comforter is all encapsulating. It not only means that God comes alongside us when we are feeling the world is against us, or sadness and bereavement comes away. It's not only that Comforter. He's a Comforter in the sense that comfort will always bring assurance. Comfort will always give certainty that we are not facing any eventuality alone. C.S. Lewis had that problem, the great author who wrote the Narnia books and others. He was an agnostic. He went to church, but he was someone who just couldn't encapsulate the reality of the incarnation. And then one day, he went to his room and he bowed before the Lord and he said, "Lord, I don't fully understand everything. I pray that you will reveal the truth to me." The most reluctant convert in all of England came to his knees in faith. That's the prayer. When you are feeling doubt knocking on the door, pray. Pray that God will reveal to you the truth of his presence. Pray that the Comforter will come alongside you to show you the truth. The reality of who Jesus is, the reality of his love, his salvation, the peace that he can give to you. I trace the rainbow through the rain. And no, the promise is not vain, the dawn shall tearless be. These people, not like Peter, have never seen Jesus personally. They never have sight in him. But because of their faith, because they had been tested, because they had been refined in the power of the Holy Spirit, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Isn't that wonderful? We are not alone. We have a Comforter. We are being refined. But we are being refined in a way that is totally beyond the conception of our minds, that God should reveal himself to us because he cares for us, because he loves us. And that's why the church is here. We need to come together to encourage each other. We need to come around the Word of God together. It is the medicine of the soul. It is a place where we build on the foundations of faith. We have the foundations. We've sung of that tonight. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ alone. But what are the reasons for foundations? Their foundations are there that they might be built upon. That Christ would build his church upon the simple foundation of the faith of those who trust and believe in him. And to go back to what I said at the beginning, churches like ours and other churches established over the centuries by those who trusted and believed in the Word of God, in those who had a vision of a hope for tomorrow, established communities of faith that we might continue to be faithful, that we might continue to serve, that we might continue to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is our purpose, dear friends. And if we celebrate anniversaries, let us celebrate them with gratitude and thanksgiving that we are here in our time to proclaim the same riches and unsearchable riches of Christ that Peter speaks so eloquently through his word. So we have this living hope. We have been refined by faith. We have been tested. The trials will come. Anrediniaeth, God means phony. But then Paul, Peter says, I always get Peter and Paul mixed up, I don't know why. Peter says, you have a joy unspeakable. You know, it was revealed to them that you were not serving themselves but you. When they spoke of the things that now have been told by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. And I thought that was very strange. This Karen this morning mentioned angels and the ministry of angels. But she did say something that struck me, you know, and I'd been preparing this message in the week. And I thought to myself, angels, when they hear this message, they close their wings. They are unredeemed creatures. They are those who just give praise and glory to God. But even angels are silent before the enormity of God's grace and God's love. The reality of that truth. We have a joy rooted in Christ, not in the circumstances of our lives. We seek to serve Him, to survive the trials. We are destined for salvation. Faith is not sight, but it is real. Love for Christ is not sentimental. It is supernatural. It is powerful. It is of God. And that gives us a joy. It is not happiness. Happiness can be something that comes and goes, can it not? But real joy is grounded in that which has been accomplished for us. And that's what Peter can never get over. That God should have loved him and redeemed him as he did. That's why Peter, having denied the Lord, having said he did not know him, was greeted on that day with mercy, with compassion, forgiveness and grace. It is no wonder that he said, you know, at his death, I want to be crucified upside down. I'm not worthy to be crucified the same way as my Lord. But that didn't matter now, because he knew in his heart that that which was to come was the reward that God gives to his saints. That confidence that he had that eternity was before him. And as those nails pierced his hands and his legs, so he knew and saw the gates of heaven open before him. You know, when you hear the terrible atrocities that Christians suffer in the world. In Nigeria, weekly, Christians are being killed and martyred. But you know, when you look and when you read of their faith, they almost say, carry on. I got something much more coming. Doesn't that humble us? Doesn't that make us realize the extent of God's love? That sinners such as we have been redeemed? Doesn't it make us celebrate that we are built on the foundation of those who have gone before us? And the foundations never crumble. The foundations are not like the man who built his house upon the sand, but upon the man who built his house upon the rock, and the storms came around him, and the house did not fall. So, dear friends, in this dark and evil world of which we are a part, we are the church, a community of faith. We are not a chapel, it's a building. We are a church of people who trust and believe in Jesus. We have come to trust and believe in Him. We are baptized into Christ. We are raised to the newness of life that is in Him. We are part of the saints of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our foundation. On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are glad tonight. We are the people of God. We are His church. To His name be the glory. Amen.